Scripture reading this morning is going to be familiar, I think, to most of you. It's a short passage in the Gospel of Luke. It's the story of Jesus at the home of Martha and Mary. As we listen to it, listen in it for what God says to us today through it. As Jesus and the disciples were on their way, they came to a village where a certain woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to Jesus and said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." And the Lord answered, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset by many things, but few things are needed. Indeed, only one, and Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her." The word of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Lord, for these few moments, help us set aside what distracts us. And of the many things around us and in us, help us at Jesus' feet to find the one that matters most. In him we ask. Amen. So I need to begin this morning by apologizing to the grammarians among us for the sermon title. I'm pretty sure you can't make a plural out of a proper name, and I know it will make some of you cringe and may gain me an email or two this week. But I thought it seemed worth it because it felt accurate. There just aren't many passages I can think of that capture our experience and some of our assumptions as well as this one does. Somehow in these few short verses, Luke has divided humanity into two categories, two camps, Martha people and Mary people. And when you read this story, you tend to side with one or the other. You tend to get one of the characters and be frustrated by the other character. These two women have become kind of mascots for people who feel like one of them. Though the truth is, we don't know much about them. They're only mentioned here in Luke and then in another story in John's gospel. Even though those two stories mention them, they probably tell us less than we think. For example, Martha or Mary, which one is older? We don't know. It doesn't say. But Martha feels older, right? She's doing the work. She's giving the orders. Luke says they live in a certain village. John calls it Bethany. John says they have a brother named Lazarus. And that's really it. That's about all we know of these two women. We don't know if Luke's text is a pattern. We don't know if Martha is diligent. We don't know if Mary is flighty. We don't know that Martha is a wound-up, tight workaholic. And we don't know that Mary is a carefree airhead. We don't know if Martha's spice drawer is alphabetized and if Mary's room is a pigsty. In fact, it may be Mary who is normally the one getting things done. Maybe that's why Martha needs the help. We don't know, except it feels like we do. It feels like we know them because we all know a Mary or a Martha. We all have Marys and Marthas in our life, and sorry again for the grammar. We know someone who can't sit still, who literally can't sit still. They have to be busy. Someone who goes nuts if they don't have a project, if they don't have a job to do, a task. Marthas get things done. In fact, Marthas can't not get things done. They can't relax until things are done. You want to know if you know a Martha? Leave the bed unmade. Crumpled sheets, pillows out of line, covers hanging off to the side. Or leave the dishes undone, just sitting there in the sink, dirty, waiting until someone gets around to doing them. Look around, and the people squirming right now, say hello to Martha. Welcome to worship, Martha. The Marys among us are thinking, hey, that bed thing makes sense. We're going to sleep in it again anyway. Things will get done when they get done. What's the hurry? Let's relax for a while first. Maybe get caught up on some conversation and not get caught up in the details. Ask Martha what's for dinner. She's got a meal, a plan, and a time. Ask Mary, I don't know, what do you feel like eating? And know that you're going to eat about 8:30 p.m. We don't know Mary or Martha, but it's easy to think we do because we know so many like them. We probably are like one of them. So it's important to check our assumptions on this text. Martha does what a woman of Jesus' era is expected to do. She cares for guests. She practices hospitality. She gets busy. She's doing the things that need done. That's her role. That's her job, and she does it well. Mary does what no woman of Jesus' era would do. She sits in the place of a disciple. No rabbi would let Mary do what Jesus lets her do. It wasn't done, but Mary does it, and Jesus goes along with it. So understand that Mary isn't just not doing the work. Mary is doing something that Martha may feel brings shame to the house. And really, at this point in the story, Luke shifts the focus to Martha. We don't hear a whole lot about Mary from this point of the story. And Luke gives us two interesting words. First, Luke tells the readers that Martha was distracted by many tasks. And it's fascinating that he points out that she's distracted by exactly what she's expected to do. Her jobs are her distractions. The things expected of her are the things getting in her way. The word distracted in Greek is interesting. It's a two-word compound. It's from a verb that means to pull or draw, even drag. It's often used like to draw a sword, and a preposition that means around or away. So literally the word says to drag around, to draw away. It meant to be pulled in lots of directions, to be unfocused. The second word shows up when Martha tells Jesus to tell Mary to help, which is, I think, maybe why we assume she's the older sibling. That seems like an older sibling thing to do, to give Jesus instructions. And maybe it's also why we think this isn't the first time these two sisters have been at odds. But in response, Jesus tells her, Martha, you're worried about many things. The word worried here is an older Greek word that translates literally into pulled apart. You are divided, Mary. Martha, you are divided. And if you've ever experienced anxiety, this is a near perfect description. You can't focus. You find it very hard to do any one thing because you're worried about everything. When Jesus looks at Martha, he doesn't see a superwoman who gets it all done in spite of her slacker sister. He sees a person divided, distracted, pulled in too many directions, worried and wearied, and he speaks truth to her. Martha, you only need one thing. And Mary got it right. Now, Martha's hear this. It doesn't mean Mary is always right. The passage just before this one, in fact, we looked at it last week, the parable of the Good Samaritan, Jesus essentially, the whole parable says, go and do. Go and do. Here, Luke balances that with this passage in which Jesus sort of affirms, sit and listen. If you're a Martha, you need to understand that Jesus isn't criticizing Martha for being Martha. He's pointing out that in being Martha, she's in danger of missing an opportunity. Mary saw a chance to unplug, to learn, to listen. Mary saw Jesus in the house and said, I don't get this chance every day. I'm going to take advantage of it. Even if it meant bucking the system, she did it. And Martha couldn't. And Jesus is saying to her, Martha, you need to be careful. Because sometimes too many things is just too much. Don't neglect the one thing you really need so you can be whole, so you can be together. Because even Martha, get it done, never sit still, 100 miles an hour, Martha needs to stop once in a while and be at Jesus' feet. And so do we. In social journals and in studies, Americans almost unanimously report being busier than we used to and busier than our parents and grandparents. Interestingly enough, that doesn't seem accurate. When you compare time journals with previous years and generation, it is really the case that we have about the same amount of free time that we've always had. Yes, kids are involved in more stuff, but they're not doing an hour of chores before school and two afterwards. Yes, we're shuttling kids around more, but we're not spending 2 hours planning and making dinner. And yes, we have 8,000 channels of television, but it turns out we watch them about the same amount as we always have. For most of us, it's likely not true that we are busier than we used to be or busier than the generations before us. What is true, without a doubt, we all think we are. We all feel busier, which means that most of us are experiencing being pulled apart, being divided, being scattered in many directions. Most of us know this feeling of the anxiety of trying to get it all done. Our experience is one of stress. Whether we're actually busier or not, we feel busier and we're anxious about it. We often try to focus on too many things when only one is needed. We come to church, but it feels kind of like one more thing among all the rest. Rather than sitting quietly at the feet of Christ. So even here, we often don't feel any more together or whole because we've worshiped. Because we treat worship kind of like we treat everything else. Something to be checked off as finished. Really interesting that Luke spends most of the next chapter of the gospel with Jesus teaching prayer. Because part of what we learn from prayer is how to disconnect from everything that isn't God. How to focus on one thing and put the rest down for a few moments in order to have some peace. Worship has to be more than the thing we are doing right now. It has to be the thing that frames everything else that we do. The place where we become less divided, less scattered, less anxious. It's more than simply unplugging once in a while. It's plugging in at the right place. It really doesn't matter if you get Martha or if you get Mary or if we really don't know either of them. There's a time to get things done and there's a time to do one thing. Those of us who are trying to follow Jesus in a scattered, weary world filled with distractions and becoming distracted, we cannot neglect spending time at the feet of Jesus. We cannot neglect worship. We cannot neglect prayer. We cannot hide behind busyness. We cannot hide behind our schedules because we're afraid of stillness. Because Jesus wants more for us than distracted, worry-filled souls. Jesus wants to fill our souls with himself. Jesus invites us to choose the better choice, which won't be taken from us. When the dishes are done and the beds are made and the checklist is finished, Jesus' question to us is, did we make time to hear God speak? Did we create room in our busyness to find the Spirit and be found by the Spirit? There is a time to go and do, and there is a time to sit and listen. And discipleship for Mary's and Martha's means navigating both so that we can be whole. So that because of the one thing we have chosen, we can be one. We can be together because of the one we have chosen to follow. Amen.